everybody. Welcome to the Used Up Pens podcast. I'm your host, Tristan. And instead of the parents this morning, we have this afternoon, whenever you're listening to this, we have the eldest brother, Trevor, here.
Hey, that's me. I was a little bummed that it wasn't the morning because I was hoping for some free coffee, but, whatever.
I mean, you can make it now if you want.
Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. We're going to be talking about, I don't really know how to encompass it, but Trevor is not the only one, I guess. It's hard to explain. We're going to talk about you being at home and away from home and back home and away. And
I was the only sibling that did not stay close for Trent's, like, well, during Trent's formative years.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yeah, so we're gonna talk about that in the past of that, in the present of that, and potentially the future of that.
The future.
To start things off, we'll just ask age difference, I guess. So, how old was Trent when you left for college first time? Trent is a year and a half younger than me. He's three years older
Trent's
than
27
me.
Now, isn't he?
26.
26. So he's, 4 years. So I left when I was 18. So he would have been 14 when I initially left for college. And that would have been in 2011.
Mm. Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah. And where was he at? Like, what do you remember from?
Like, up to that point?
Or just at that point?
Sure.
Like, when you left, I guess.
Okay, so he had just started doing the SPOPAD, is that what it's called? The treatments in Kansas City.
Oh, Nate.
Nate, yeah. He had gone up, I think, maybe for a year, coming up on a year. He had been going up there for about a year. And because I remember we had gone at least, I don't know, 3 or 4 times with them up to Kansas City. So I, unfortunately, and I say this, not to put like a negative spin on it or anything, it just is what it was. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I have a lot of memories of me restraining Trent,
sure,
and feeling some protection over you and TJ growing up, wanting to help Dad if Trent was being aggressive and Dad was by himself. But I remember there was kind of this maybe light at the end of the tunnel kind of feeling when we first started those treatments, because I think I don't remember how quickly they started working. But I feel like I remember we had treated him for something in one of those early treatments, and coming back, that thing just didn't affect him anymore. It might have been the one for metal. I can't remember, but there was something we treated him for that was like a broad strokes kind of thing. And we could see the effect of it, I guess. But yeah, that was kind of what I remember.
Okay.
By the time that first time I moved away.
Right. Yeah, so you remember, like, some progression, I guess.
Sure, yeah.
Development?
Yeah, that's a good way to say it, whatever. I think.
Yeah, cool. And then, so you left, you were, like, how far is that? 45 minutes?
An hour.
An hour?
Yeah.
Away from home, and you were gone for...
7 years.
Yeah, okay, cool. And then you came back... do you remember, like, being around Trent more frequently when you moved back, and, like, if he was different at all?
Well, I don't know. I don't have a lot of memories of, I came back for big holidays. That's why I'm on this podcast now, is I'm back here for Thanksgiving. But I remember coming back for big holidays and big, like, religious holidays like Easter and things like that. But I don't have a lot of memory of Trent like behavioral problems. That even sounds like a bad way to say it. Like the aggression.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't have a lot of memory of that when I would come back to visit. And even coming back, but coming back, when I moved back in 2018, when I moved back to El Dorado.
Yeah, that's right. Cause that's when we got married.
You and Easton.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, I think you had, you, I think I, you guys I had just moved back.
Yeah. I mean, Trent kind of, oh, even bringing up your wedding, I remember him as goofy little like white polo with khaki shorts at the wedding. But,
mm-hmm.
He was kind of, you know, looking at it kind of as bookends, I guess. It was kind of like he was two different people a little bit.
Sure.
I remember when he got taller than me. And then I remember when TJ got taller than me.
Yeah.
And I feel, and now that I say that specifically, I remember thinking, man, what would it be like to have to, if had to do what we did when we were younger, do that now with him being a fully grown man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause at 14, he was still.
He's
I want to say small, but
he's always been like a little linebacker though.
Yeah. He's big.
Yeah.
Big for his age, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which for a wiry little dude like me.
Yeah, that's really true. You were a little tiny little running man.
Yeah.
Okay. So then you were, I guess we'll just go through like chronologically. So you just left again. So how long were you back here?
But like before this year?
Yeah, like before you left for Illinois.
2018, 19, 20, 21, 22, 5 years?
5 years.
Five years. Yeah. That's short. That's weird to think about.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels longer than that. Yeah. I feel like.
Well, it's because it's during COVID. It's post COVID. Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. Do you remember, like, did your relationship change at all between the two of
With
you
Trent?
Since you were back? Yeah.
I'm going to get this is actually so when mom was talking to me about doing this specific episode, yesterday. Mm-hmm. this was actually kind of the first thing I think about, and it's a little emotional, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually kind of always been jealous of you a little bit. Because Trent, when I moved, Trent being 14, TJ would have been 11.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, you think when you're with your siblings at that age and there's an age gap like that, those memories and those things that you do with them mean a lot to you because you are more grown and your brain is more developed. And so those things stick with you more and are maybe a little bit more impactful to you, not necessarily to the siblings. That's because they're so much younger.
Mm-hmm.
So I always have kind of felt not left out necessarily, but honestly, I kind of feel like I let, and I mean, yes, you to an extent as well, but you know, I see and would hear people talk about being with their brothers in this immense bond that like friends of mine that have brothers have with their brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And not feeling like I have that.
Mm-hmm.
Not even, I mean, regardless of the autism. So coming back, I don't know. It's just always kind of, I still feel this way to an extent. I always kind of feel like there's just been this wall. Like I don't get my siblings like the way that you do, you know, like, you know how to talk to TJ's not gonna listen to this. You know how to talk to TJ, you know how to, and also because it's your field of expertise, you know how to handle Trent and you know how to be with Trent and how, and how to read him. Like today, not today, but yesterday, since I'm back in town, I'm staying with the parents. Trent, came into the kitchen and I was doing some work, and he said, popcorn. And I said, every time you guys talk about like imitate Trey the podcast, I'm like, what are you doing? And now it just comes after me, I guess. but he came in and he said, popcorn. And I said, yeah, bud, you can have popcorn. You're 27 years old. You can popcorn if you want. And he got it and he kind of looked at me and he goes, I need help, please. Mm-hmm. And I said, I got up and what's the problem, bud? And he pointed to the microwave and I went up and I said, okay, press the popcorn button.
Yeah.
And he pressed it and I didn't know how it worked either. And so we just waited and it eventually started. But I was like, man, I feel like you would just know. And I feel like I don't. Mm. I feel like when Trent wants something or is feeling a certain way, I it's like a puzzle to me. And I feel like you and mom and dad all just kind of get it.
Mm.
And so, I mean, I feel like I may, and because of that, I feel like maybe I feel like I'm ranting. So please,
you're good. Know,
I feel like maybe I overcompensate a little bit. I feel like I'm really lovey toward Trent. Mm-hmm. Like I want to hug him and I want to, and what was really sweet though, is when I came back last night, mom said he had been feeling bad all day, but when I came in the house, he was super giddy.
Yeah.
And he wanted to go and do things and just, you know, and he let me high five him and hug him and stuff. But, I'll want to hug on him and I'll want to love on him. And I feel like he just couldn't care less. And that could be the same. I mean, that could be with anybody, but I don't know. I think just because of my experience with him and the way that our lives have gone, I feel like there's a little bit of a wall there. Whether it is or not, sure. I'll never know. But anyway.
Yeah.
That answers your question.
But. Yeah. No, you're good. That reminds me, I've been trying to teach Trent to tell me when he doesn't want me to just like hang out with him.
Yeah.
So like, cause I want to do that too. Cause you know, it's not like you can go talk to your, like us.
Yeah.
You know, when we were living together, it's like, I'm going to go, you know, hang out with Trevor or watch a movie or, you know, whatever. It's like, and then you talk and, you know, maybe you, I don't know, go grab lunch or, you know, whatever. Yeah. And it's not that.
Do you want to go grab lunch? Yes.
Yeah. Or like, I don't want to be by myself. I'm going to go hang out in the basement or whatever. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you kind of like figure out, okay. If I wanted to hang out, we were just like in the basement. And then I started talking and then I'm like, okay, Trevor's talking to me a lot more. Oh, it's lunchtime. Do you want to go grab lunch? You know? And then you keep going, you talk, you hang out, whatever, but you can't do that with Trent, obviously.
Right.
And he's definitely not going to talk. And so it's like, how can you connect with someone who's not going to, I knew this episode was going to be hard. How can you connect with someone who is not going to talk back to you?
Yeah. You got this.
And here's the problem, Patreon. I am very in tune with my emotions. I cry all the time. I don't care. That's fine. I have no shame in that. What I do have shame in is what my voice does when I cry.
Oh, no.
And then I can't talk. I literally can't talk when I do that. So. Yeah. So I want to go over to Trent. I want to hang out and I want to say, don't eat Mr. Lunt. And I want him to say, don't eat Mr. Lunt. And like, that's how, you know, or hugs or like,
tickle.
Yeah, tickle or like kiss him on the forehead, whatever. And, I want to know when he wants that, when he doesn't want it.
Right.
And so I've been trying to tell him, like, if I say, do you want me to leave you alone? And he says, leave me alone. And then I'll say, okay, you can tell me, leave me alone. And then he says it independently and then I leave him alone.
Yeah.
Or I'll say, do you want Tristan to hang out with you or leave you alone? And he'll say, leave you alone.
Yeah.
He's been learning how to say that independently.
Oh, good. That's awesome.
It is. Except but it also now. Hurts my feelings. Because I'm like, hang out with him and then he's like, leave me alone. And I'm like, dang it. Fine.
And it really stinks that he's just such a big teddy bear too. Mm-hmm. Like he's, if there was ever like a human being built to cuddle or to hug or whatever, it's Trent.
Yeah. Yeah. He, and to be fair, it is a, it's a puzzle for all of us. Yeah, we just are around him probably more. Mm-hmm. And like me at work too, like you said, I have to figure out stuff.
Right.
Yesterday, this is random. I'm going to say it. Yesterday, I was hanging out with kids at work and this one kid came over to me and he said something that was not in English. And I was like, what'd you say? He starts walking away. I said, what'd you say? And he's like, he said whatever it was. And then he goes, in German. And I'm like, what the heck? He just walked away. He doesn't have a lot of words, but like he was like in German. And I'm like, great. So cool. So then his like siblings came to pick him up. And I was like, so he said something to me in German earlier. Like does, and they're like, oh, it's a song. He's been like saying the lyrics to a song. So it sounds like he's talking in German.
He's been listening to the German version of 99 Red Balloons.
Yeah. They're like, oh, it's a song. I'm like, oh, that makes a lot more sense. Okay. Yeah, anyway, okay, so going back to, or continuing, I guess, leaving this time, have you, like, how do you make that decision, I guess, or how did you make that decision to...
To leave?
To, yeah.
So, I, my job is, I mean, quote unquote, my job, is music. I play, I freelance. When I was living here in Wichita, I freelanced and taught at a local music store, which doesn't exist anymore. And
wait, what?
Yeah, they've been bought out.
Oh.
Yeah, we could talk about it after.
Yeah, yeah, I'm surprised.
Yeah, if you're looking for music lessons, go to Palin Music now.
Okay.
Yeah, and I had always thought about, I think when you're in this line of work, especially with my peers that were here, there's always kind of a conversation of like, well, what's next? Where are you going to go somewhere? Where do you go? Where else are you going to go from here? And so I, for a long time, for 4 of those 5 years that I was here, I've always felt established. I had a lot of gigs. I was making some pretty good money. And then COVID and then it kind of worked its way back up again. It was really slow. And I got some really great spots teaching at a couple places and then it all just kind of went away. And in the summer of 2022. So I was playing for Music Theater Wichita here. And I was sitting in, I think it was a dress rehearsal, and I was playing, and I was kind of like, what do I have left? Like, what is around still? Because I was only teaching at one place. I didn't really have any regular gigs like I used to. And I kind of had this thought of like, okay, well, I used to say that I would stay because there was like, that was just what I had, was I just had thing, like I had stuff to do here. I was established. And now I don't feel like that's the case anymore. So I had those, you know, life-altering 1 a.m. conversations that you have with people. I had one of those and kind of, and it was kind of like, well, what, I had all these plans. I had all these things I was going to do. I had gotten my master's and the goal was kind of always to go for a DMA, which stands for a Doctor of Musical Arts. And it kind of stopped, or that stopped. And, because I was sick of school, but I was kind of like ready to get back into that. And I had always kind of had this idea to do a study. There's not a lot in the world in like pedagogy, which is a fancy word for teaching. There's not a lot of books on pedagogy approaches to individuals that are neurodivergent of any kind. There are some, but the pool is very, very small. And none of them are really pedagogy books as much as they are, or method books, as much as they are like how to deal with this scenario, or like how to prepare for this scenario, or just basic music education. And so I had this idea to do a study using autism is such a wide a wide spectrum, and there's so much. I'm getting talking louder. I'm sorry. autism is such a wide spectrum, and there's the level of variation between individual to individual is so great. Mm-hmm. There's not a that's a really hard and that's a really deep and dark pool to dive into. Down syndrome, though, as far as I'm aware, and what mm-hmm. I've studied, which is, you know, not nearly what other people have, but is fairly by the book. We know what it's an extra chromosome. We mm-hmm. know what it is. Kids that
this
have,
is how it presents. This is what it looks like.
Yes, yeah. Individuals that have Down syndrome have it have similar tendencies. Mm-hmm. We know how you know it's there aren't very many surprises. And I've taught a couple kids in private lessons that have Down syndrome. I've mm-hmm. taught some kids with autism too. But I kind of always had this idea to develop a pedagogical approach to see if there is something that we, some kind of common approach that individuals with Down syndrome can latch onto quickly and easily. You know, when you teach a kid that's neurodivergent, you always have to have this conversation. It's a really hard conversation to have sometimes, but you always have to have this conversation, this conversation with the parents on you are enrolling your kid in music lessons. You need to know they will not play music the way that you think they will. Mm. That we focus a lot on dexterity development, on fine motor skills, memorization, relaxation. It's a lot of like, it's almost like PT, or just like some kind, you know, some kind of extracurricular to get them doing something else that's not, you know, whatever their regular routine is.
Did you say what you teach?
Percussion, drums, percussion. Yeah.
Sorry. I was like, no. I don't know if we actually said that.
Right. Yeah. No, I only teach percussion, in terms of the neurodivergency. So I was telling mom about this one day, and she was like, if you're going to do this study, you might as well go back to school mm-hmm. and get some funding to do this. And so I had this kind of revelation a couple summers ago now. And so I applied to a bunch of different schools, and I was kind of like, okay, if I don't get in anywhere, the current music facility I'm at is able to cater to this thing that I want to do. I just won't get any fund. I mean, I won't be getting any school funding for it, but I can still make this happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so I applied to a bunch of schools all over the nation, and Illinois accepted me. And not only accepted me, but they gave me a fellowship to go out and enroll in their DMA program. I've started my dissertation class or my special projects that were just kind of used interchangeably on doing this. And my dissertation professor is very excited about that. When I was telling him about it, you know, we were supposed to have a 15-minute one-on-one, and a lot of people do things like, performance practice of their instrument. I have a friend doing an approach to the Suzuki method, I can't remember if he's doing like the history of it or like it versus another one or something. But anyway, so they're all, I mean, there's some typical ones you do. I have a friend that's doing the history of steel pan music in America. So it's all over the place. But this one, it's, you know, this 15-minute one-on-one session we were supposed to have was turned into like a 45-minute meeting.
Yeah.
Just because it was so broad and so much to talk about. And nobody's done it. I mean, for this class, this dissertation class I'm doing, we have all these assignments where we're supposed to find like previously published dissertations or previously published materials that will help us with our current one. There's nothing out there for this. There's some stuff like I found one that's like identifying behavioral patterns in the classroom.
Sure.
I found a couple that are like talk about aesthetic education, the role of special education in music, things like that, but nothing that is like here is a method book or a pedagogical approach to a individual that has neurodivergent needs,
mm-hmm.
And I'm very excited about it, and I'm hoping that the ultimate goal is to get all this collected, do the case study, publish the results, and then present them, and then hopefully publish a book, a method book that is catered to those individuals. And then after that, then I'll probably try to do something with autism and see if there's something out there. But like I said, it's such a,
yeah, it's a lot.
And it's mostly a mystery, you know, and there's just so much to think about. And honestly, a lot of individuals that are diagnosed with some level of autism, some of them make some really crazy good musicians. I know a couple, there's a couple with me in Illinois now, that are really wild.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I know it's kind of getting away from Trent, yeah, but the hardest thing about this move, you know, this is the farthest. I mean, obviously it's the farthest I've ever lived away. But
any of us kids.
Yeah. I miss everyone terribly all the time. I mean, if you listen to this podcast, I remember when you and I were sitting in Chick-fil-A every once a month, just, you know, this was just, this podcast was just a conversation. And it's kind of sad to, you know, sit in my little studio apartment and see you guys on Instagram, you know, and that's been the hardest part about all of this. And luckily, mom and dad are very chatty. They like to keep in touch. You know, I talk to them. If I don't talk to them every day, I talk to them just about every other day. You know, you and I have had some conversations while I've been up there, just, you know, sending goofy stuff back and forth on Snapchat or whatever. Weird little noises. But, you know, like I said earlier, that thing with, you know, obviously Trent isn't going to pick up a phone and call, and I'm not going to, you know.
Right.
But unfortunately, you know, I'd said earlier the thing about the siblings. You know, TJ is the one I probably talk to the least, and not for lack of trying. I mean, we both, you know,
TJ also acts like he's a man who lives in the woods and doesn't know how to work a phone. So.
That's fair. Yeah. But, you know, and just seeing everybody change and seeing everybody do different stuff. And, you know, and Easton's had some life changes happen recently and career stuff, which is fantastic. And I felt like I wanted to do more than just, and he's in the room with you, so I'm gonna look at you and talk about it. But I wanted to do more than just text you congratulations. You know, I wanted to like hang out and like take you out for dinner or something, and you know, you just can't. And it's tough.
Yeah. Did you ever feel like you couldn't leave home because of the family? Or was it like you just knew it was gonna be hard?
I have always kind of had, it's weird. When I was the first time I left in 2011.
You were ready to go.
And it was, I kind of just was overtaken by this feeling of like, this is what you do. You grow up and then you move and you move away and you go do other things. And this is just how the world works. Mm-hmm. This is what you do. That's not what everybody does. That everyone's different and everybody does different things. And, you know, I remember dad telling me, I was ready to go though. I remember dad telling me, he said, man, I really wish you'd stick around and go to Butler for a couple years and just do this, you know, and, you know, being 18 and everybody's an idiot when they're 18. I certainly was. That was rude. You can edit that if you want. I was a dumb 18-year-old, but looking back, had I done that and had I gone to Butler, my life probably would have been close to the same. I probably gone to Butler, and then instead of going to Emporia, I would have gone to Wichita State, which I ended up doing anyway for my master's. I think about that a lot though. And I think had I given that a little bit more thought, I might have stayed. However, much like Dad, when I want to do something, I usually just do it and don't put much extra.
You got tunnel vision.
Yeah. So, and this time leaving, it's not, that feeling is not quite as strong just because, you know, we're, TJ's not 11. Trent's
right.
Not
we're all
14.
Grown up. Yeah.
Yeah. Trent's 27 and TJ's 20.
26.
Huh? 26, right. Sorry. 26. Yeah. Trent's,
he's almost 24, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And everyone's starting families and having their own thing. And I'm just out doing me, I guess. But so it was a little easier this time around. And, yeah, and also that, like, I like what you said earlier, that mission of I can help people. I want to help people, and this is the way that I can do it. Mm-hmm. That's helped fuel the fire quite a bit.
Yeah. Very cool. Do you have any plan? I know this is like in the future. How long is your program? 3 years?
My coursework gets done in 2 to 3 years, depending on how quickly I get it finished. And it's just, we could talk about it off air. coursework gets done in 2 to 3 years. And then what happens is you are referred to as an ABD, which means all but dissertation.
That's rude. Ouch.
Yeah. Well, and I have a friend that's in North Carolina. She's an ABD and she's been working on hers for a long time.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. It's not a bad thing. And actually,
it sounds
rude, right? Yeah. It sounds like, oh, you didn't. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. It's like, oh, you're everything but the most important thing.
Very right. Cool. Yeah. Yeah. But. No, she's got something else.
A couple.
She's an EDS, I think.
She basically only has her dissertation to do before she,
yeah,
has her doctorate.
But she has another coursework for it. Is the thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Coursework.
That's right. Yeah. And so. Anyway. Actually, my hope, not hope necessarily, but, I need to do probably sooner rather than later is see if one of the problems that this project is facing already is finding a pool of individuals, because I think I'm going to need at least like 30. And I know Wichita has a facility where that can happen, but then like not only do I need the human test subjects or human subjects to do the study with, I also need a location that I can set up at and have it be a semi-permanent thing. Which once again, every little thing about this project is taken into account. Like, are they going to perform? Are they going to retain more if they're on? And maybe that's going to be another part of the study is, you know, we had 15 kids or individuals doing this on site at wherever this facility is, and 15 of them went to the studio and they did it at a different location. And these, you know, everything is a question and everything has to be decided. But to answer your question, sorry, that was a long answer. My hope is to have it done within 5 years.
Nice.
Yeah.
The follow-up question, do you have plans of like coming back home, or do you want to stay away? Do you know?
So when I left, I love Kansas. Let me just say that right off the bat. Mm-hmm. I'm a big believer in that quote of anybody can love the mountains, but it takes soul to love the prairie. And you know, driving back at that stinking 8-hour drive, I was losing my mind by the end of it. I got to see a really beautiful Kansas sunset coming back.
Mm-hmm. We do have the best.
Huh?
We do have the best.
They really are. I mean, the sky was purple and gold and orange and blue and black and every color you can think of. When I left, I kind of always had the intention of coming back. The idea was to go and come back. Now that I've been gone, I'm kind of thinking that I might not.
Mm.
So it just depends, you know. But I think that's not a bad place to be. I think, you know, it's just what is as of right now, the project takes precedence. Wherever I can get this project done in the most efficient manner,
sure,
that's where it needs to happen.
And you're pretty like project or like goal oriented too. Absolutely. Which I think plays into like I quit college because it wasn't important to me. And
which is fine.
I know, but I'm saying like that's, there's like two different types of people.
Sure.
Like people who are motivated by, you know, formal education and, you know, completing things.
Yeah.
I couldn't care less if I completed anything. Let me just tell you that. But yeah. So that makes sense is what I'm just trying to say. Yeah.
Yeah. I have always had that. I was thinking about that recently, actually, like in the last couple of weeks. I have a bad habit of, even if this thing is bad, I need to get it done. I mean, that's why I can't play video games very well, is because like I can't tell if a video game is bad. Because I'm just like, it's just a game, and they wouldn't have made it if it's a bad game. So I just have to play it. And so anytime that I, and that's, so that with any aspect of my life, if this food is garbage, well, I have to eat it anyway because I made it.
This is so funny. I have to eat it because that's funny. This is funny too because all three of us, because Easton's in the room too, we're all so different in that because you just got to get it done no matter what it looks like.
Yeah.
Easton has to get it done, but it has to be perfect. Yeah? Yeah. Like, if I'm thinking about video games. Like, you got to get the whatever it's called, platinum, the level or whatever.
He's a completionist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me, I'll just quit. I'm not even going to finish. But that's so funny. Okay. Cool. Well, yeah. I mean, do you have anything else to say?
If you... Actually, yeah, if this project is of interest to you, let's put my email in the description.
Sure.
If this project is of interest to you, or your interest, or if you want to keep updated on it or whatever, shoot me an email and I can you know, maybe if you happen to live somewhere that has any of those things that I was talking about, or if you have a resource that you feel can help, or if you feel like, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Or you know somebody.
Yeah.
For Down syndrome, right?
Or if you know somebody that has done something like this, shoot me an email. I don't know that I'll respond, but, any help is appreciated.
Yeah. Very cool. Right on.
I got the Easton producer here. One question as we wrap up, the episode started and is kind of about what it's like moving away from a sibling with autism. There are millions of siblings across the U.S. that are going to have to make this decision this year, next year, whatever. What's some encouraging words to siblings trying to make that discussion? I mean, for you, it was move away and you kind of still don't know if that was the right decision, but what's an encouraging word to think about and things to process? What's a encouraging word as they process that?
Sure. Yeah.
That question in their head.
You know, I can only speak kind of for my experience with Trent, but to create any neurodivergent individual that I've interacted with, be it any of my lessons, kids that have been diagnosed with Down syndrome, Trent's, you know, people that have been diagnosed with autism, for whatever reason, and Tristan, maybe you won't agree with this just being in the field, but it is so easy for them to love, and it is so easy for them I don't know about if forgive is the right word, but to kind of always welcome you with open arms a little bit. You know, coming back, I haven't seen Trent for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've seen him through Instagram, but he hasn't seen me. You know, he hasn't seen me for 3 months, and just to come back and have him not change and have him still be Trent and have him still be, still be his same lovable self, still giddy and happy and not telling us when he has issues with us. Asking, you know, and yeah, feeling comfortable enough with me to ask me for help with the popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, Trent, press the button, yeah. I guess. I don't know how this thing works, but yeah, they're always going to, no matter how long you're gone for, no matter what you're going to do, and you always have to do what's right for you and what's best for you. Maybe not always, but in terms of like moving away.
Is the correct way of putting it that autistic or neurodivergent people aren't going to feel betrayed?
If you
move away, they're not going to feel betrayed.
They might be sad.
Yeah,
you know?
But they don't feel like it's you don't feel that, because I also feel like we had Sherry and Shannon on recently, and they had to go through something similar to this.
I listen always.
And yeah, and I think that's kind of a similar thing. That their kids didn't feel betrayed that they had to part, and I don't think Trent feels betrayed that you had to part. Individual people, everyone's different.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just, a common experience.
Yeah.
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 So. Yeah. That's good. Cool. All right. Well, that is the episode.
Oh, I have one more thing.
Yeah.
I got to make a new theme song for this show. I'm getting so sick of hearing that Marimba intro.
That's so funny.
Anyway, sorry.
Right on. Okay, well, that's our episode. Special thanks to Trevor for being on today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Feel free to check out all of Trent's stuff. We have a lot of cool Christmas stuff out. We got a calendar, t-shirts, Christmas box, all the goods. There's a lot more.
I'm picking up my 2024 calendar before I head back.
Nice. Me too. I'm waiting for a ruined one so I can have it for free. all of that can be found on drawingsbytrent.com. Feel free to check out our Patreon if you want to watch this video and see our sick mugs in action.
Oh, one more. Interrupting. I'm sorry. Another place you can go instead of email, if you don't email me, trevorlandris.com.
Oh, there you go.
I post frequently on there, and you can keep I'm going to be posting stuff about the project on that website.
Very cool.
Yep. It's just my first and last name.com.
Right on. We'll put that in the description too.
Cool.
If you want to watch this on Patreon, patreon.com/drawingsbytrent, you can watch the video of the podcast there. Thanks for joining us, and tune in next time for another episode of Used Up Friends.